Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Friday, November 24th, 2023. South Sudan has the highest child soldier recruitment rate in Africa.
The country does go high for arms trafficking, and that is also just in reflection to the region. So it has a score of 8 out of 10, and this score is the same since 2021, so it remains unchanged.
And a member of South Sudan's National Legislative Assembly points out procedural discrepancies in the way parliament is run.
This one is a selective application of law because of personal interest. So the resolution was passed because the majority were from the SPLM.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir has today assumed leadership of the East African Community, a regional economic bloc. Speaking in Arusha, Tanzania, during the 23rd Ordinary East African Community Heads of State Summit, he called on the East African Community leaders to work jointly to address common challenges facing the regional bloc. For VOA News, Charlton Doki reports from Juba.
President Salva Kiir today replaced Burundi's President Evariste Ndayishimiye as the chairperson of the now 8-member regional economic bloc. President Kiir says he believes the regional bloc can address problems in the region.
South Sudan strongly believes in the ability of the East African community to address our common challenges. This is one reason why South Sudan joined the East African community in 2016.
Mr. Kiir is leading the regional bloc at a time when the region is dealing with regional peace and security, especially the crisis in Sudan and the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo, where South Sudan has deployed troops as part of the East African Regional Force to help restore peace in the country. He says the region should address instability. But he urged the East African Community member states to support the East African Community-led Nairobi peace process on restoration of peace and security in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. The process emphasizes inter-Congolese dialogue. In the past, South Sudan has repeatedly defaulted. In the past, South Sudan has repeatedly defaulted on its annual contributions. But President Kiir says his government is ready to meet its financial obligations to the regional bloc.
From now onwards, South Sudan commits to remit its required annual contribution on a timely basis.
The summit also admitted Somalia as the 8th member of the regional bloc. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
East Africa has registered the highest levels of criminality on the continent since the start of 2023, according to the Africa Organized Crime Index 2023, launched on Friday in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. South Sudan ranked highest in the recruitment of child soldiers by state and non-state actors. For VOA News, Lucy Pony reports from Nairobi.
The Organized Crime Index for 2023 indicates that criminality has increased in Africa between 2019 and 2023. Southern Africa was ranked lowest in criminality scores, while East Africa scored the highest. Data shows crime is driven by high levels of armed ethnic conflicts and presence of non-state armed groups and militias in East Africa. Rumbi Matsamba, analyst with Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime, says criminality flourishes in regions experiencing conflict and instability, while countries with strong democratic institutions have the capacity to build resilience against organized crime. Matsamba says there is a marginal improvement in crimes as well as resilience scores for South Sudan.
The reason why there's an improvement in the criminality score is because there has been a decline in the pervasiveness of some criminal markets. So a 0.17 point decline, but also some criminal markets have not changed their score since 2021. It has largely remained the same. So the situation has not gotten better, but it also has not gotten worse.
The East African region scored high on human and arms trafficking. Matsamba says South Sudan scored a high number in proliferation of small arms and other smuggling activities.
The trade markets, for example, the country does score high for arms trafficking, and that is also just in reflection to the region. So it has a score of 8 out of 10, and this score is the same since 2021, so it remains unchanged. Human trafficking, for example, the country has been evaluated as being a source country or as citizens trying to move out of the continent. Yeah. And also that may have to do with its geographic location more than the capacity of the country to actually respond to human trafficking.
According to the index, South Sudan, which relies almost entirely on imports from Uganda and Kenya, has been identified as a destination country for counterfeit goods smuggled through the borders. The report says South Sudanese are exposed to health risks from the consumption of substandard untested pharmaceuticals and food items. Matsamba says Eritrea and South Sudan scored highest at 9.5 and 9.0 out of 10, respectively, for state-embedded actors directly involved in criminal activities. The director for Africa Center for Open Governance, Gladwell Otieno, says lack of action by leaders and the continued increase in organized crime in Africa should worry policymakers in the region. She says the latest index is an important tool for policymaking.
It's important that non-state actors have a very critical role to play in countering organized crime, and leaders need to recognize this rather than seeing civil society and non-state actors as a threat. They should be looked at as a valuable resource in addressing problems identified in this report.
According to the index, West Africa led in the cocaine trade. North Africa scored highest in financial crimes and trade in cannabis and synthetic drug trade. Central Africa scored highest in non-renewable resource crimes and arms trafficking, while South Africa was dominated by wildlife crimes. For VOA News, I'm Lucy Pony in Nairobi.
A member of parliament representing Chuaibet County in South Sudan's National Legislative Assembly says the Speaker of the House has no powers to launch an investigation without consultations. Joel Nomnek Daniel says a recent committee formed to investigate the governor of Western Equatoria State is working illegally. He is calling on lawmakers to investigate the Speaker of the House, who endorsed the committee. He spoke with my colleague, John Tanza.
He put on with the committee until the committee was formed. It was agreed, it was passed as a resolution in the parliament that there would be a formation of the committee, and it was expected.
You're a member of parliament who passed the resolution. I mean, you're talking as if you're not a member. You're a member of parliament who passed the resolution.
I'm a member of parliament, but we're denied contributing, we're opposing it. So it were those members who voted, because the issue of the house is democracy. So at that point, it was passed by those who were interested in the matter, because we said that this one is a selective application of law because of personal interest. So the resolution was passed because the majority were from the SPLM.
Let us talk about the personal interest. You are talking as a member of parliament representing the SPLM IO. You have a stake in the business. The governor of Western Equatoria is SPLM-IO. It appears like you are making noise because your colleague in SPLM-IO is in a hot soup.
That should not be taken as such, because the purpose of SPLM-IO is to make sure that justice is done, and our motto is justice for everyone. Our contention in the parliament, up to now my contention, is that the speaker is the one who wanted to remove the governor. So in that case, they are in direct conflict with the governor. The speaker is not therefore supposed to form a committee, to put on with the formation of the committee, to be the one nominating the members and appointing them alone without being in consultation with even with the chief whip of the SPLMIO. We are saying that the person investigating the governor is the wrong person because he has been conflict of interest in the matter.
You're saying that the Speaker of the Parliament should not investigate the governor of Western Equatoria or should not initiate any investigations. Who should start the investigation? I mean,
where the conflict arises, we go back to general practice. The general practice is that where the conflict, because a Speaker of Parliament has the same status with a judge, is a judge. In another word, that is why in certain countries, a speaker must be somebody who has read the law and has practiced the law, because he's going to deal with the very crucial matters that are governing the country. So the speaker, when there is a conflict like that, what will happen is that the House is supposed to sit down and appoint a neutral committee headed by a neutral person who will be able to do justice and to investigate, not those who are having the conflict of interest in the matter. A speaker from SPLMIO should not. And the speaker from SPLMIG who is in conflict with the governor of Western Equatoria should not. We need a neutral person, and the House should endorse.
I hear you, Honorable Daniel. Based on my records, this is not the first time you are in conflict with the Speaker of the House. You had issues with her before, which led to your dismissal, and you reinstated. It appears you also have a conflict with the Speaker. What are you talking about here?
I have a conflict on issues of procedural matters. It's not a personal conflict, but it's a matter of public interest, because the issues which I'm fighting against is the interest of everybody. I'm fighting against the corruption in the parliament. Up to now, we don't know what is the fate of the welfare of the members in the parliament. At the same time, the speaker is not like being a neutral person in the parliament. The speaker is acting as if she is a member herself, favoring her own party. This is what she is doing.
Honorable Daniel, I am not a member of parliament, and I don't understand what your facts are in the Legislative Assembly. But the speaker, Gemma Nunukumba, is not on this line to defend herself. But South Sudanese who are listening to me and you would say, why can't you concentrate on matters that are crucial?
Okay, that is a good question, and this has been expressed, that I should concentrate on issues of areas I represent. But the people should hear that the only way I can be effectively and to address the issues that I raise in the parliament, and if the issues of my people are ignored in the parliament, then the first enemy, number one, who is against my people, is the parliament itself.
That's our Sudanese lawmaker, Joel Nomngek. He was speaking with my colleague, John Tanza, from Juba via WhatsApp. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at the South Sudan boys football team. Stay tuned.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what skill would you most like to master?
I would love to learn how to use my hands. That is craft work. Making the baskets and doing more of the clay at work.
So I think I will go technology any day, anytime. So mastering what I do already, which is practically technology, which is software development, applications development, analysis and data mining.
I would love to play the organ. I love it. I love the sound. I would want to have it at home to play to my family.
Now many people don't like to be teachers. So for me, I'm willing to be.
I appreciate people that I can sing, because I can't sing myself and I don't have a very good voice. So I will go for singing.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. A 14-year-old Ethiopian-born American in the U.S. state of Virginia has won the 3 Million Young Scientists Challenge, an annual science competition for U.S. students in grades 5 through 8. VOA's Eden Garamu spoke recently with the winner in Fairfax County, Virginia.
Heman Bekele says that he has always been passionate about problem solving. That curiosity has earned the Ethiopian-born American teen the grand prize and $25,000 in cash in this year's 3M Young Scientist Challenge, a competition for U.S. students enrolled in 5th through 8th grade. Heman entered a bar soap that could fight a type of cancer known as melanoma.
Yeah, I've always been really passionate about just finding solutions that aren't just really great from a science perspective, but are also accessible to as many people as possible. And for a disease like skin cancer, where cures already exist in the field, the only issue is that those cures aren't accessible to everyone.
Heman soap is still being tested for its effectiveness, but it works by activating special cells called dendritic cells that help the body fight skin cancer.
Well, I tried to come up with a solution that was not only great from a science perspective that could work, but then at the same time was also affordable and accessible.
Heman's parents say that they didn't realize how important his project was until their son was shortlisted among the top 10 competitors. His father, Wendwesen Bekele, says they couldn't contain their excitement.
When he, like, become like a top 10, I was really, we were so satisfied. And then when he become like the first, the top, like, we were so, so overwhelmed with his accomplishments. So we're still so happy for him.
His mother, Mulumebit Kitacho, says he has always been curious as a child.
Heman likes to create. Since he was a child, he used to like to research things. He used to prefer playing with things he created instead of toys. He was social. He liked to play. He liked to talk and play with other people. He likes to read, but he also listens. He is a good listener.
Heman says his skin cancer treating soap must still get an approval from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. When that happens, he hopes it can be made accessible to people in underserved and low-income communities.
Of course, there's a lot of work still left to get to that goal, but I hope that, like I was saying, by 2028, it'll turn into a nonprofit, and we'll have to see from there where it ends up.
The World Health Organization's Cancer Agency estimates that nearly 325,000 new cases of melanoma were diagnosed worldwide in 2020. Heman says all he wants to do is make people's lives a bit easier. For Eden Garamu in Fairfax County, Virginia, Salim Solomon, VOA News.
New York City hosted its 97th Macy's Thanksgiving Parade, featuring 48 character and novelty balloons, 26 floats, 12 marching bands, and more than 700 clowns. Aaron Renan has the story from New York.
Thanksgiving Day Macy's Parade is held in New York City and begins the countdown to Christmas. Thousands line the streets of Manhattan on Thursday to catch a glimpse of the annual spectacle.
It's just amazing the details that you see up close when you're here instead of just on TV.
I think post-pandemic, to see so many people out celebrating and having a wonderful time, it warms my heart. And yay, New York is back and here to stay. Woo!
The parade traces its roots back to 1924, when many Macy's employees were first-generation Americans who wanted to create a winter parade like they experienced in Europe.
New York City has always been an immigrant city, and there were a tremendous number of immigrants working at Macy's at the time, as there were in any New York City department store. And I think that they were definitely bringing back some of their Christmas traditions from the countries that they had come from.
Angus Johnson explains that the giant balloons were introduced 3 years later with a unique twist.
In the early years of the parade, when they started with the balloons, they would release them at the end of the parade and give and offer a $100 reward to anybody who was able to track one down and find them.
The parade has run almost consecutively for 97 years, except for a break during World War II.
From 1942 to 44, they suspended the parade because the rubber and the helium that were used in the balloons were needed for the war effort. And then they brought it back in 1945.
Almost 100 years later, Today's balloons can stretch up to 5 or 6 stories high. Each balloon in the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade requires 8 to 19,000 cubic meters of helium, with filling costs reaching a minimum of $500,000. Additionally, each balloon requires 80 to 100 volunteer handlers.
This is my first time doing the parade, and I'm so excited, having a great time. Energy's amazing, crowd's amazing.
The first televised parade took place in 1946 and was limited to the New York area. Last year, over 27 million people viewed the parade on video and television. And this year's parade is also believed to have generated massive viewership numbers on multiple platforms. Aaron Rainin, VOA News, New York City.
In African youth football, South Sudan's boys team emerged a respectable fourth at the just-concluded CECAFA Under-Age 15 tournament in Uganda, with one of its players winning the top scorers award. Both players and officials say they believe the tournament will give them much-needed experience to form a better Bright Stars team. Reporter Mugumi Davis Rakarinj has this feature story for us from Kampala.
There was fanfare and excitement at Njil Technical Center in eastern Uganda as Zanzibar's boys received their winner medals at the conclusion of the Council for East and Central Africa Football Association's Under 15 tournament. One of the winners here is 15-year-old South Sudanese player Lazarus Peter Laku, who won the Golden Boot as the tournament's top scorer. Team captain Lazarus was instrumental for the Young Bright Stars team. He scored 8 goals to help South Sudan advance the semi-finals, where they lost to the eventual tournament champion Zanzibar. Lazarus says he's learned a lot by playing against other countries. He says the goal-scoring award will motivate him to become a better player.
It will motivate me like more to go and work hard in Juba, to work more harder than anyone, so that next time if I come for like CECAF again, I can do much better.
The award ceremony was preceded by the final match, pitting host Uganda and Zanzibar, with the latter winning on penalty kicks. Another South Sudanese player, centre-back Ismail Raymond Sampuli Mansuk, says he's acquired new skills by participating at this tournament.
It has been our first time to play under 15. Like, we've been playing some guys who are more speedier than us, but we tried our best. I think the country is not that proud of us because we had promised to get better results, to reach the final level, but we didn't make it. But I think she'll come back better next time. This is now done. You have to go back and just train. Forget about this. Like, not forget it, but we correct the mistakes we made.
Mansuk is inspired by former Spanish and Real Madrid star Sergio Ramos, who now plays for another Spanish club, Sevilla FC. Coach Abdulmajid Sabil Ali says the South Sudan Football Association has high hopes for these young players. He says the coaching staff here will recommend a couple of players who will be groomed for future international engagements.
Collectively, departmental, when I talk about departmental defensive and midfield, I think they did good. They did not concede so much goals. Yeah, there are goals we concede 1, 2, 3, 4. But I think we are going to work on them to see how they can grow. Because, you know, they can make mistakes. But through the trainings, we'll come and realize and analyze how we concede a goal. Then we will do better. But I think we see there's a success.
En route the semifinals, South Sudan drew 1-1 against Ethiopia, lost 3-0 against Uganda, and walloped Djibouti by 12 goals. Regan Mlechezi is an East African sports analyst who has a keen interest in youth and women's football. He describes the Young Bright Stars team as, in two quotes, work in progress, and says he believes the young South Sudanese players have a lot to offer if well mentored.
They have been playing some good football, and they have that spirit, that fighting spirit. I remember their game against Djibouti. They needed 11 goals to come back so that they qualify for the semifinals, and they did so. That shows that fighting spirit. And if young boys have that fighting spirit, then that's very good for any country. And then there are those kids that there are kids that love each other. They are that console each other. If they lose, they lose as a team. Their style of play are quick in transition.
Lazarus is an orphan who lives in Juba with his mother and 5 siblings.
He says he has big dreams of playing for the world's biggest football clubs and representing South Sudan's senior national team, the Bright Stars.
You know, because football in Europe, you can help your family and even your community and a lot of things. So my dream is to play in Europe and like Madrid and Man City.
For South Sudan in Focus, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakadinji in Kampala, Uganda.
We heard from many of you this week about news and events we cover in this broadcast. First, we begin with these voice messages.
Hello, VOA. I am by the name Wilmadin Riak in Dukpadit, Jongola State. I am really so shameful to our governments and to the Minister of Education for this painful suffering of teachers since July 2023 up to November 2023 without payment. Where do our government think we depend on? Since some of the teachers have families, their families are the ones suffering from hunger. Their children have been expelled from their schools in their parents' countries like Uganda, Kenya. Their children miss examination because of their school fees. I am urging the Minister of Education to look into this issue. When your children go to schools because you have money, doesn't mean teachers' children go to schools. Because teachers' children have been expelled from their schools because of their school fees. Thank you so much, VOA, and thank you so much.
I'm Peter Gocha Nyangma Jondul in Jongle State, South Sudan. The situation in Sudan needs immediate intervention from the international communities in order to save life of women and children who are fleeing the conflict scene, the fighting erupts in mid-April.
Many of you are commenting on the Abyei-Twitch conflict. Mading Malwal Alwong in Juba writes that political interests against communities' longevity, peaceful coexistence and harmony have taken adverse advantages. That's why Twitch and Abyei's case is very contradictory to be resolved at once and for all. Something is more fishy right there in such both communities' social conflicts. The politicians know very well by themselves, but they have hidden their nostrils into such a chronic bleeding of innocent people's lives. Munluak Ajwaj Milek in Juba writes, "Hello VOA, the issue of Abyei and Twitch has become a problem indeed. I am urging the national government to solve this issue in a peaceful way because the continuing violence is increasing the loss of young people who are the future of this nation. Both governments of Abyei and Twitch failed to solve their problems by themselves, and they were staying peacefully before." Thomas Kuntoj in Old Fangak Payam in Fangak County in Jongola State writes, "I am appealing to the government of South Sudan to look into the repeated communal attacks between Warab State and Abyei administrative area. The loss of 27 people in that attack is a very great loss to the whole nation. My condolences go to the families who lost their loved ones in that senseless fighting. Rest in peace." The views expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate hearing from all of you. Keep those comments coming. And that's all we have for you this Friday. Don't forget to check out voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this broadcast, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with the Amari JJD. Jeje tu musica international bana salia musala ah kikina ye munda kuye mari lo tina dawara lo ramadan lular abui musi kome petrecia oye mari lo tina dawara lo kana kongo so mira kaje se tu bote la kaya kaso lo ya bukite kele We've been listening to Amhari JJD. I am your host, Nabil Biajo in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Gwen Uten, and engineer Saida Hamdoun, thanks for taking the time to be with us. Remember to join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.